For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Let's open in prayer tonight. We come around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have been saved through a mighty salvation provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we ask that as we open our hearts up to you tonight, to hear by your Spirit, that you speak to our hearts and strengthen our souls in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're looking at praying with the Spirit, and that's little s spirit. So it's talking about praying with your born-again spirit, and that term has come out of the Scripture itself, so we're not making it up. We're talking about this, and I've got to say that it is an area that is most misunderstood. It is also an area that people out of both ignorance and rebellion fight against. Now, I'll just give a little bit of a background. I was born again in 1979, which is almost around about 40 years ago now. The first 5 years, I had almost no teaching on this subject. A little bit of teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but virtually no teaching about praying with the Spirit. And it wasn't until I came into faith doctrine that I started to understand it in a lot more detail. Let's have a look at, first of all, Romans 6, verse 11, because we have to understand that when we come to Christ, our spirits are made alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible tells us. But when we come to Christ and are born again, we won't turn to it, but in John 3, it says that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Ghost, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, little s. So we have the nature, the Bible calls it the divine nature, within us, because our born-again spirits have come from the Holy Ghost himself and has been made alive unto God. Romans 6, verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now we've been made alive unto God. So we are now connected to God. And I quoted that scripture, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are now connected to God spiritually. At one stage we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were not connected to God spiritually because we were dead. And death is not extinction, as some cults would have it, but death is separation. So we were separated from God by our sins. But now, as it says there in that scripture, we are to reckon ourselves, that is, make that declaration, believe it, make that declaration, that we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So our inner man now has the strength of God in it, has the life of God in it. Praise the Lord. If you have a look across at Romans 8, go across to Romans 8, and we see, we'll start from verse 9, and we'll go down to verse 11. Romans 8, start from verse 9, go down to verse 11. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's capital S, Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you're not a Christian. All right? So you have the Spirit of God, and also called the Spirit of Christ here, dwelling in you. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, that's capital S, Spirit, is life because of righteousness. So what's the Spirit giving you in your inner man? He's giving you life, isn't he? He's giving you strength. He's giving you that investment of his might in you. So we see that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Now verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now that required a lot of power, didn't it? The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So think about power is in you. You know, the Spirit of power. So if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall, and this is a really good thing to remember, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit, that's capital S, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is good news for us. You might feel weak now, but God is saying that your mortal body can be quickened, both now and obviously when you've got your resurrection body. But because he's dwelling in you now, your mortal body can be and should be quickened, that is, livened, strengthened, made to have power in it. So out of the inner man will come that power, that investment, that strength, that quickening from the Spirit of God which is dwelling in you. Can you see what I'm saying here? Now, God shows us how we can have that connection, and it's connected to us being filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a measure of the Spirit, but when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, there is an overflowing. There's a well initially, the well of salvation, and then there's the rivers of living water that the Bible talks about, those rivers coming out. We don't have time to go into detail about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you would do well to listen to the sermon. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you first believed? And that's a sermon on the website. Let's have a look at Acts 10, 44 to 48. So we know that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is dwelling in us. He's dwelling in us. There is that quickening of our mortal body. There is that life that's been invested into our inner man. We saw that we are no longer dead to God, but we're alive unto God. And so it's very, very important for us to understand that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. He's in there. He's in there. Good confession is that you're being led by the Spirit of God, and that your mortal body is being quickened by the Spirit of God. You need to say what the Scriptures say. Okay? Not just any old thing, but say what the Scriptures say. My body is being quickened by the Spirit of God. What has this got to do with praying with the Spirit? All right, let's start to get into this, because the praying with the Spirit is a great connection to the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And when I was first born again, it was some time before I was filled with the Spirit. And even when I was filled with the Spirit, I wasn't praying with the Spirit all the time. But that has changed quite a lot, and I'll go into detail in a minute. Acts 10, 44 to 48. Let's have a look at that. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So here, there's the beginning. There's the beginning of speaking in tongues, praying with the Spirit, or speaking in tongues is also praising with the Spirit. In the church setting, the gift of tongues is used in another way, with the interpretation of tongues, but we're not talking about that tonight. We're just talking about when you're filled with the Spirit, when you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost and been filled with the Spirit, that's the start. And you can see here that those of the circumcision, the Jews, knew that the Gentiles had also received the Holy Ghost when they heard them speak with tongues. Okay, when they heard that, they knew that that had happened to them as well. So we know that the beginning of our spirits being released into being able to bring that utterance of the Holy Ghost, because that's what Acts 2 talks about, that we speak with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Okay, he gives the words. And we don't know what words we're saying until as we start to speak out and the Holy Ghost gives the utterance. And so we see in verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then answered Peter." Okay, so they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Speaking with tongues and magnifying God go hand in hand. All right. That was the beginning of them. Anyone that's filled with the Spirit, and you need to say to yourself, when was I filled with the Spirit? If you were filled with the Spirit at such and such a time, you would have started speaking in tongues. When you're filled with the Spirit, then that's the beginning. You don't just speak in tongues once and that's it. The Bible says be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5, so you should be continually being filled with the Spirit. When you start speaking in tongues, you don't stop speaking in tongues and say, "Well, that's it. I'm now filled with the Spirit. I never have to speak in tongues again." No, you've missed the point completely. You want to magnify God in your life? You want your body to be quickened by the Spirit of God? Do you want to have access to knowledge beyond just what you're thinking? Do you want to be able to pray for others in a much more deeper way? Then you need to understand what it means by praying with the Spirit, with your born-again spirit. You need to understand what that means. Let's have a look at Ephesians 6, 17 to 20. Ephesians 6. So we've established, and there's much proof for it, we've established that once you're filled with the Spirit, once you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost and are baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you start speaking with tongues. You start speaking with tongues. That is your spirit speaking, and the Holy Ghost is giving you utterance as you're doing that. It is a miraculous thing. And it is a wonderful thing that the Lord has given this. We're looking at Ephesians 6, 17 to 20. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, capital S Spirit there. So it's a sword of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. But you link it with something else here. You link it with prayer, because there's a colon after verse 17, at the after God there. Praying always. So how much? Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The longer I go in ministry, the more I realise how important it is to be praying for the ministers and how much I need prayer. And so I do value your prayers. Always remember that. I value that. And I'm not just talking about 1 minute a day. I'm talking about you put a little bit of application to it. So it says in verse 18, praying always. So we can't be just, I'll pray one day and not another day. We must have a continual prayer life. A continual prayer life. And it says, with all prayer and supplication. Well, supplication simply means asking God in humility, that is in line with his word, asking God. And notice it says in verse 18, with all prayer. With all prayer. That tells us that there's something about the prayer dimension that is not just one layer. There's more to it than just, I've prayed a prayer that's been written in a book. Yes, you can do that. That's good. Or I've prayed a prayer in English, I've prayed a prayer for such and such, and I've been praying. And yes, that's very good too. But the Bible also talks about praying with the Spirit. Praying with the Spirit. And let's have a look at that in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 to 19. Now, when I was a young Christian, I would read a lot of faith material, and I still do. And one author, that I used to read, and it was his sermons put down in a book, was the sermons of Smith Wigglesworth, a powerful person who knew the Bible, who was a man of great miraculous means, a Pentecostal man, and he would refer in his sermons to having seasons of prayer. And it almost, when you read it, I read all his sermons that were recorded, obviously not every sermon that he preached, but as I was reading it, I got this idea that he was a man that seemed to be praying every second minute almost. He seemed to be almost always praying. And I'm thinking, how is that? How is that? How could he be praying so much? How could he be praying so much? And I was thinking about that. I was seeking the Lord about that. I was thinking, even if I, for half an hour, prayed, in English, I might run out of things to pray for. You know, I might, yes, I remember that person to pray, that I should pray for. And then I found that I just couldn't work it out in my mind. I couldn't work out how this man was talking about seasons of prayer. And it was almost like the prayer was a delicious thing to him spiritually. And no doubt it was. No doubt it was. And indeed it should be. That it was a thing that he needed. It was a thing that he found great joy and comfort and peace in doing these seasons of prayer. Now, obviously, prayer has a lot to it, and it's not just us speaking, but there's components of us listening as well. All right, but let's have a look at this extra dimension. This, all right, I've started speaking in tongues once I was filled with the Spirit, once I received the Spirit. Let's have a look at what it says in Ephesians 6, 17 to 20. Sorry, not Ephesians 6. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 to 19. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 to 19. Starting from verse 14, he says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." So this is very, very clear statement. He's talking about you can pray in an unknown tongue, and the unknown tongue is referring to a tongue or a language that is unknown to you. Okay? Well, it has to be unknown to you because it says in verse 14, "But my understanding is unfruitful." In other words, I'm praying with my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, it's not going through my mind. It's not a mental thing. So it can't be, okay, I'm praying in our case, the English language, because your understanding would be, in that case, fruitful. But he's saying here, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue..." So he's talking about you can pray in tongues. You can pray in an unknown tongue. So surely that fits with Ephesians 6, which says praying always with all prayer. Well, this must be a component of the all prayer. Would everyone agree with that? It's a component of the all prayer. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit..." And there must be a born-again spirit, because there's a little S there. "My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, verse 15 is a really important one for us to latch on to here, because it's an act of your will. And I when I started to understand this, I started to understand what Smith Wigglesworth was talking about with respect to seasons of prayer. Verse 15, "What is it then?" In other words, what's the case? What's the case in our lives? What should we be doing? "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit..." That's an act of your will. "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." You can't get much clearer than that. That you can pray with the Spirit, which bypasses your understanding is unfruitful, and you can pray with the understanding also, so your understanding is obviously fruitful. You can't get much clearer than that. But it is an act of your will to say, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." Now, there's a lot of people that pray with the understanding only. There's a lot of people who haven't been filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of people who might have been filled with the Spirit years ago, prayed in tongues once or twice, and then don't do it anymore. There's something wrong with that. Because the Bible says, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." And it goes even further than that. It says, "I will..." It's an act of your will, people. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. It started to dawn on me, the more I looked at it, the more I understood. It started to dawn on me that praying with the Spirit should be a large portion of our prayer life. And I started to understand what it meant, what Smith Wigglesworth meant about seasons of prayer, and how valuable it was to him. Yes, he prayed with the understanding also, but he also prayed with the Spirit, because, and he talks about that as well, and many Pentecostal ministers over the years have talked about this and explained this, and even I'm explaining it now. It has to be an act of your will. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You might say, well, Pastor Craig, what are you doing now? Are you doing that? Let me just tell you, this is a typical day. A typical day for me. I pray in English. I make lots of confessions of the Word of God in English and thank the Lord for all types of things in English. I pray a large amount with the Spirit, praying in an unknown tongue. When I'm walking down the street, I'm just praying quietly in tongues. Almost every time I walk down the street, it's become a natural thing to me. It's become something which is so very valuable, because I understand now how much and what a season of prayer really is. So let me encourage you, and not only that, there is a great difference. There is a great difference, and I am not exaggerating when I say that the strength that I have in my body, if I compared to what I was back 20, 30 years ago, the strength in my body, I can honestly say that it is better. It is better. I feel stronger. But it's not just about feelings. You've got to understand this. But that's part of it. That comes into it. That comes into it. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. You put them together and you can have wonderful seasons of prayer. You can say, Lord, I pray for such and such. You know what their situation is. The Spirit knows all about that person. Use me to pray for that person, and start to pray with the Spirit for that person. Pray in tongues for them. So you don't have to have understanding about that person. You can pray for them with the Spirit. You can praise the Lord in the Spirit, with the Spirit, in the Spirit. You can sing and praise God in tongues as well. To those that don't understand this, to those who haven't been taught about this, it comes across as almost something that's fantastic, something that is beyond what they're thinking, what they have experienced. But what they need to do is come to the Scriptures and say, what does the Scripture say? What is the Scripture saying? Look at verse 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, so you can bless with the Spirit. You can pray in tongues over something and bless. You've probably seen the minister of God pray over someone in the Spirit. Well, they're praying for that person. They're blessing that person. The Lord is using that prayer as they're being prayed for. Okay. Else, when thou shalt bless, and shalt is a very clear word, you shall do it. Bless with the Spirit. How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So, those in the room of the unlearned, those that don't understand this, they're not going to see what's happening here, okay? They're not going to see what's happening. But those that are learned, those who are taught in the word, will understand. Such as when you pray over someone in the spirit, or you pray for someone in the spirit, or you're in a prayer meeting and pray with the spirit. They understand what's happening because they are learned. And verse 17 says, "For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." So the other, in this case, is the unlearned person, is not edified. So we're starting to see that you can bless with the Spirit, you can pray with the Spirit, you can praise God with the Spirit, you can sing with the Spirit. This, when people have a doctrine against this, they're chopping out all of that. Can you see how severe that is in their life? How much of a lack it really is in their life? By chopping out all of that? By saying, well, I'll explain it away in another way. You know, they've got to somehow explain verse 14 away, don't they? They've got to somehow explain verse 15 away. Even though it's so clear, they still have to explain those away so that they don't have to pray with the Spirit or pray in an unknown tongue. They've got to explain that away. If you have a look at Romans 8 again, just go across to Romans 8, and we'll look at verse 26. Now, the King James Bible is never wrong, always remember that. So when it talks about the Spirit itself, it's talking about the Spirit in his incarnation as the truth here, okay? Is he in his incarnation as the truth, that is the one that knows all truth, all things. And if he knows all things, the Spirit of God can communicate to your spirit. All right? Verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Well, that's a problem, isn't it? You might say, well, Lord, something's not right here in my life. I don't know how to pray about it. Well, how can you pray about it? The Spirit of God can help you. Isn't that what it says there? The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our deficiencies. The Spirit of God can help you. But you've got to be open to the Spirit of God helping you. If you say, well, I'm not going to be praying with the Spirit. I'm not going to pray in an unknown tongue. First of all, that's rebellious. Secondly, it's not taking what the Scripture's saying. Verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Okay, so the Spirit is doing things behind the scene which we don't know about, so it's not uttered. But when we start praying with the Spirit, we are bringing utterance out from our prayer. So you can see the Spirit itself, the Spirit is doing a work, a great work, and is making intercession for us. is making intercession for us. In other words, he's there, ready to help. We don't know how we ought to pray. So we need to have some sort of prayer that bypasses our unfruitful understanding. Can you see what I'm saying? And that's what praying with the Spirit's about. It'll bypass your unfruitful understanding. You don't know how you ought to, what we should pray for as we ought. I might want to pray for a ministry. Well, I'm not going to know everything about that person's ministry or those people's ministry. But the Spirit knows. And he can use us. Because there is the mind of the Spirit, and the mind of the Spirit is infinite. And he can bring us as vessels for his use to pray for others, to pray for ourselves, to pray for our circumstances and others' circumstances, to bless others, to bless a ministry, etc. It is a valuable thing. Very, very valuable. And it has all the benefits of the quickening of the body, of the edification of the person that's praying. Well, how do I know that? Look back at 1 Corinthians 14. You get the benefit also, as the Lord is using you to pray with the Spirit, you get the benefit of edification, of being edified, being strengthened, being built up. You get that benefit. This is a benefit which is sadly lacking in many people's lives because they don't believe it. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So if you're praying in an unknown tongue, you're obviously speaking in an unknown tongue, aren't you? Who are you praying to? Who are you speaking to? To God. That's what prayer is all about. Not praying to man, and to God. No man understandeth it. In the Spirit you're speaking mysteries, things that aren't understood by you and others, you're speaking them out. And there is that understanding there, that as we do that, there is an edification. In verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So if you're praying in tongues, what's happening? You are edifying yourself. You're strengthening yourself. You're praying to God. You're letting God use you. And one of the benefits of letting God use you is edification of yourself. You get stronger and stronger in your prayer life. That's what I've found. And no doubt that's what Smith Wigglesworth found as well. Because if you read his testimony, you'll know that he had a lot of trouble, a lot of arguments against being filled with the Spirit. You can read his testimony. He's in the sermons. But once he came into it, and obviously came into a knowledge of what seasons of prayer was all about, it became very, very valuable to him. And myself, as a young Christian, I didn't understand what he was saying then. I couldn't understand how you could walk down the street and be in a season of prayer. Well, I do now. I understand that now. Or you can be in an elevator surrounded by people and be in a season of prayer. Praying? It's true. It's true. We'll finish with Jude 17 to 21. The book of Jude 17 to 21. Jude is just before the book of Revelation. Jude 17 to 21. But beloved, Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Okay, so those that don't have the Spirit, they're going to be walking in another way. They're going to be walking after their own ungodly lusts. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves, it's edifying, isn't it? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So let me tell you that you build up yourself on your most holy faith. Okay, you're building up yourself. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, you're being instructed to do it. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We'll connect that back to 1 Corinthians 14. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And praying with the Spirit, with your born-again spirit. Okay, so this will help you to keep yourself from ungodly lusts. That's part of that edification. Because you'll start to be wanting to pray. You'll get that yearning within you to pray. And just like Smith Wigglesworth, you'll see that seasons of prayer are an important thing. And praying with the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost is so very, very important for us. Let's close in prayer. Let's all bow our heads in prayer, because I want us to think about this. We want a church with people that are all praying with the Spirit, all praying in an unknown tongue, that all of us see the importance of doing this daily. Daily. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you. I thank you for every person who hears this, for the people here, for the people who will hear this. And Lord, I ask that you move upon every person by your Spirit. Teach us and show us. Show us the value of this more and more. That we be people that open ourselves up to this area, understanding about seasons of prayer, having a yearning for it, and that we will pray with the Spirit and we will pray with the understanding. We will not leave both of those areas out. We will pray with all prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.